Paranormal Truth and Reality with host Chris Houston. A show for those with a passion for the paranormal. And now, welcome to the show.
Welcome to Paranormal Truth and Reality. I'm your host, Christopher Houston. We've got a very exciting guest today. CERT Investigations. Monica and Jeffrey are on to tell us a little bit about their investigating style, what they do, where they're located, and some very exciting news I'm sure they'll want to share with everybody. Welcome, guys. How you doing?
All right. How you doing, Chris?
Oh, can't complain. And I reckon if we do, nobody ever listens, do they?
That's right.
So, Jeffrey, tell us a little bit about your investigating team, how long you've been in business, what got you started, and let us get to know you a little bit.
Okay. Myself and Monica Wilson, we put together CERT about 3 years ago. So we've only been the CERT team for 3 years, but we were part of another team that we had pretty much branched off from. We didn't like things the way things were going back then, so we decided we wanted to do a new route and new name and
everything new.
Now, as far as paranormal history, mine would date back to I was probably early 21, and Monica, she was pretty much cursed with it for
as
4 years old. And we come together, we met. Yeah, well, it depends on how some look at it. It can be a curse sometimes. But somehow fate saw it, and we met, and we were just supposed to be dating, and we got into the paranormal, talking about the paranormal, and now we've got this CERT team with yeah, we're engaged, but the CERT team consists of Monica and myself, David Heron, Kelly Heron, that's the investigators, and we have Francis Wilson, who is, Francis Bennett, Barrett, Barrett. she had to step in for lead camera. She was secondary camera, but we just recently lost Michael Wilson, which was not only our son, but he was lead camera. We lost him in March, so now we're trying to pick up. So now we're trying to pick up the pieces and move on. We've got some things we're fixing to get lined out.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of very good things about you, your team, Monica, and everybody. You have an outstanding reputation throughout the paranormal world. I know you've met some pretty interesting figures from both television and not television that are fairly well known. So you should pat yourselves on the back a little bit about that, because I have not heard a bad word about you. in the paranormal world can happen pretty quickly sometimes.
Oh, yes.
So tell us a little bit about your locations a little bit and the places that you've been and the people that you've met. I'm sure the audience would love to hear it.
We live in Gina, Louisiana, and we have investigated around Colfax, Louisiana, Harrisonburg, Louisiana, Columbia, Louisiana, Rayville, DeVille, Battlefields, Hanging Gallows, you name it, we've just about done it.
What is the most unique thing that you guys have ran into while you've been out there?
Probably Parker Chairs.
Yeah, I think it would be Parker Chairs, because that was pretty awesome. We was investigating this little place that they make chairs. It's a sawmill that makes chairs. But anyway, we was investigating it, and, we had some really good, EVPs come back, some really good answers. And I don't just blurt out what I hear or see. I want to make sure that it's on that evidence. I want to make sure, that we're backed up from what I see. I just write stuff down. Well, they had some old, antique, heavy tricycles hanging up in the back. And there was no wind, no nothing. I mean, not even a draft. And they started moving back and forth.
Wow.
You know, and we was like, okay, we try to debunk it. I mean, you know, that's the first thing in our mind. Okay, we got to see what's going on here. Let's try to debunk this.
Shadows,
you know,
setting off motion.
Yeah, I was just saying, as soon as we tried to get everything still, shadows started going, you know, I mean, you just see them everywhere, and they was putting off, you know, the sensors, I mean, everything. And we was like blown, we was so blown away that we even called the security team and everything. They had got to, you know, they got to see what we was seeing, you know. It was pretty awesome.
It is pretty amazing when you run into situations like that, because as I'm sure you guys know and would agree, the average investigation, you don't run into a lot of things. You usually find logical situations. You sometimes can sit around for hours and get absolutely nothing, and then you have those one or two incidents like that that everything just seems to hit you at once. It's amazing. I hear the stories over and over and over again, and I'm still astounded by a lot of them. And I've had a few experiences myself walking around with teams, and if I'm ever in the Louisiana area, I'd love to tag along with you guys and bring a video crew and just see what you do.
Well, we are old school, and I mean old school. We don't have a whole lot of expensive gadgets, you know, stuff like that. But our main thing that we count on is our DVR. You know, you can use all the voice boxes you want. You can use anything you want to, you know, try to hear. But there ain't nothing like using a DVR.
We can pretty much debunk any piece of equipment mm-hmm. that's out there on the market. And that's the first thing we do. When we do get a new piece of equipment, we're going to put it through the ringer, see why it goes off, what makes it go off, what could make it go off. I mean, that way when we're out there on investigation, we're not all astonished and astounded like some of the things you see on TV where, you know, action happens and you automatically think it's paranormal. You already know what your equipment will do. You've done tested out your equipment, and, you know, you just go from there. So when it does go off, you've got these possibilities in the back of your mind. Well, is it paranormal, or is there something else around here or on somebody that could be setting it off?
We do strenuous tests because we don't want anything to distract us or to lead us down the wrong path. But the Parker chairs that we investigated, there was a question asked. And, no, we asked who was there. Can you tell me who's here? And the name come across. I mean, I had already wrote down or spoke it out. And the name come across the DVR. And it just so happened it was a friend of the family's that had gotten killed a long time ago. And they were just like, oh, my God, we heard his voice. Oh, my God, that was him. And we was like, okay, well, we want to make sure y'all knew who it was.
And wow, that's a really good experience.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's also a lot of investigations that we can get on, and we don't have a lick of evidence to back up what we're sensing and picking up on or feeling or, you know,
seeing.
Because I mean, we're hardcore proof evidence.
Mm-hmm.
If we can't, if we don't have it on that recorder, on that camera, on whatever, then we don't feel comfortable telling the client, "Hey, look, you're such and such is here," you know.
But
we can't prove it,
right?
You know, we don't. That could send them in a depression,
yeah.
or whatever you tell them. And I mean, you've got to be sensitive to their needs, too. Do you just want to tell them that they're here and don't have no proof to it, or you want to show them the proof that they are
right.
here?
Unless the only way that we change that is if the spirit keeps coming to me and begging me, please tell them, please tell them. Then I got to the point to where, okay, you know what? I can't do this anymore. They're stressing me out, so we're going to do this. I sit the client down. I say, okay, this is what's going on. We don't have the proof to back it up. All I'm going to do is tell you what I'm hearing. And they're like, okay. And then I tell them everything I was hearing, and they go to squalling.
So you're sensitive to spirits, then you're a medium, or at least you can speak to them or listen to them, and then they respond to you. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
And you've had this your whole life, then?
at the starting of it, I was scared all the time, and you know, because I didn't understand. And once I got older, I still didn't understand, so I kind of blocked everything off for a while. And then I started kind of, you know, okay, admitting they were there, you know, admitting that is what I hear. I'm not going crazy. And I started talking to them again. By the time I was like about 18 years old, I started that, you know, talking to them again. But under that, I was so seriously messed up, you know, thinking about them, because a lot of times they wouldn't come as you would see them in a coffin or something like that. They would come as they had been killed. I mean, whether it be a brain injury, you know, or a suicide in the brain, or somebody cut their guts open, or drowning victim, or, you know, they would come as that. And that's, for a child, that's scary.
Uh-huh.
You know, that's like living a nightmare day by day.
Well, I think that this is some very good information, guys, just to kind of pat you on the back a little bit. You're sharing some real investigative techniques. You're discussing some real important things that I think a lot of the listeners should actually pay close attention to. For instance, you were talking about the equipment earlier and how you test everything to make sure that you know all the flaws ahead of time before you go out. That's great, because that way you know going into a situation what you can rely on, what you can't rely on, and so forth. And it's very, very interesting that you brought up your childhood as a medium, because a lot of people don't understand that it is a hard road for people like yourself to go through. You're going to be scared. You're going to be confused. You can't just go out and talk to people about it, because people are going to try to treat you as you're mentally ill if you start talking about things like that, especially when you're young. You're either going to get brushed off by your family, your friends, or somebody's going to think something's wrong. So these are some really great things. I'm glad that you're bringing them to the table. So tell us a little bit more about some of your investigations, I guess, and I'd like to hear some more about your techniques as well, just because I know you do a lot of very interesting things. You share them very often on your website, which we'll discuss here in a little while on Facebook, but I mean, you just do some really amazing things out there that I've heard a lot about.
We appreciate it. One of the things that we do, and it's fresh on my mind because I just saw it on Facebook on somebody's timeline, is what do you do in situations when you go into an investigation and you can't get back in? We kicked ourselves in the butt for the longest, because we would get validation that something was going on these investigations, but we were already back at the house. You know, after an investigation, you want to take some time, rest your mind, you know, get it at ease, some meditation, get yourself back together, because the investigation, 5, 6, 7 hours, it can be draining. So get your clear mind on and then go over your evidence. But we would get validation that, you know, afterwards that something was going on and we couldn't get back in, and that's possible spirits that we couldn't have crossed. So it weighed on us. So what we decided to do was do 3 segments. The first segment, we go in, and it's about 10, 15 minute EVP sessions. We introduce ourselves, and
we let them over there and help them.
Yeah, we let them know why we're there, who we are. We're there to help them. We try to make a one-on-one personal relationship with them. That way we can get them to trust us, and they know that we mean no harm. You know, they were human once, so you talk to them like they were just right here in front of you. A lot of times they are right here in front of us. But, you know, you just talk to them like there's somebody, you know, somebody just sitting there. And once they feel comfortable, they'll start giving you information. But after that 10 or 15 minutes, we'll go over our EVPs and everything. And if we catch anything, we'll write it down. We'll write it down. And then we'll go into the second segment, and we'll base our questions around
the first one
and so on and so on. And then hopefully, don't happen all the time, especially with kids, but hopefully we'll get them to that point to where they feel comfortable. They've done let their voice be heard. And then they can go on into the light. That works a lot better doing it all on scene. I know it's a pain in the butt, and it takes a lot of time, but that solves the problem when you're not able to get back in.
Do it while you're there.
Yeah, do everything while you're there. some of the investigations, we love history. I mean, every wall speaks. It don't matter if it's a brand new building. You know, whatever happened in that building since the doors opened, the walls speak. They all got a story to tell. History is just mind-blowing. I mean, there's just so much that's happened in this place, in this building, and you're taking all that in. You're already pumped up because you're in a historical place that a lot of times they wouldn't let anybody else in. That's a lot of situations we come across. They wouldn't let other teams in, but they would let us come in. And in the research part of it, research is a must. You have got to know everything about a location, not just the building, but the land. You've got to know everything possible about this place you're going into. One, so you can protect your team and yourself the proper way, but two, because if you get off the wall answers, which a lot of times they'll come through a time lap,
yep.
You know, a time lap, and it don't make no sense. It doesn't mean that the house or place is haunted. It's just they're in a time lap. They're coming in and out like a passageway.
A residual loop that goes over and over and over again, and you only get pieces of what's going on.
Yeah, or they might not even be there. You know, that they yeah. might not be at that location. They're just coming through, you know. Hey, how you doing? You know?
Very interesting. And I used to do a lot of personal research for paranormal teams a long time ago. So, you know, I think it's very interesting that you mentioned that. Now, do you guys do the research yourself, or do you have somebody that works on your team that is a sole researcher and that's the purpose that they do?
We used to have somebody else do the footwork for us. And then it got to the point we weren't getting the whole information. So after that, we've all started doing our research. We're involved with a project right now that we've been researching nonstop for almost 3.5 years. Because every time we dig, we find something else, we find something else, we find something else. And not every situation is like that. But you've got to know everything about a place for you to go in. You just do. I mean, you've got to know why something may be happening.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And when you're dealing with history, a lot of times you will find things like you just mentioned. Not in every location, but when you're in historic locations, there's so many things that happen that if you don't dig through all of the old newspapers, all of the old articles, all of the old town hall records, whatever you can get your hands on, you might miss something that's important. And there's a lot to look for. The older the building, the more sometimes, or the older the property, the more sometimes. It may not even necessarily be the building. You might find out that the property had something on it that was literally 70, 80 years ago that's causing the effects.
Each one of our team members kind of do a little bit of research. You know, everybody does research, and we have our meetings and stuff.
We all do it a different way.
Right, we all do it in a different way. Everybody has their own way of researching. And we'll have a meeting. We'll come together, and we'll put everybody's research together and, you know, go from there. And, I mean, it does so much better.
I could imagine that would probably put it into a position where it's not a biased thing. It's more non-biased because each one of you have your own way of doing things. So I'm betting, and correct me if I'm wrong, obviously, you guys probably find out a lot of different things when you come together and go, huh, well, I didn't even think about that.
Yes, it happens all the time, but that's what's good about having people with different mind frames on your team, because somebody might be thinking further outside the box than you are to go into a place and find out some information where there's been dead ends in other places. Let me also add this, and it's probably going against the paranormal code of ethics here, but if it's a controversy, Jeff Hell with Search said so. So anyway, you know, you hear all the time, every location ain't haunted. Everywhere you go ain't haunted. Okay, let me just put out my mind frame. Every place isn't going to have activity. True. You may be there 2 or 3 days, you're not going to get activity. But the spirit world, I would assume, is more than the living people on the face of this earth, because they were here longer than us. So, I mean, they're everywhere. It's just, when are they going to decide to communicate or, you know, show themselves or move something or touch something, you know?
We went to a graveyard one night, and we was out there, and everything was dead. I mean, there was nothing.
No pun intended.
But a lot of people say, oh, let's go to a graveyard. Okay, that is the last place, and I am so serious. That is the last place that you're going to see a spirit, or you may pick up on something. I mean, it might be maybe one or two. You know, we have picked up on some of them. But we did go to a graveyard one night, and I seen this man walking around. He was just looking at us, but he never would say anything. He wouldn't, you know, he would make the, what do you call it, Ghost Pro. He would make it go off. But as far as any record, he never said a word. Found out later on that he was the groundskeeper. He was the only one there. We never
I could see that. Because he had spent most of his time taking care of the place anyway, so in death he just decided to stick around and keep doing the job.
You know, I believe that, you know, if somebody's got an attachment with them, then they can follow them on locations, and they may be trying to come through on your equipment, whereas if they do, you would think there's something going on in the house.
Uh-huh.
So it's kind of hard to separate the two and differentiate the two. But, I mean, spirits are everywhere.
Yeah, I would actually agree with that. I know that, like you said, it's a very controversial thing, but you got to think about it this way. I mean, we can travel wherever we want to go in life. Why couldn't you do that in death?
Exactly. A lot of people think they're stuck to one place. Sometimes when a person dies, they go back to the last place that they have a memory of. Or they'll go to their home, you know, where that's where their comfort was. But they don't always stay there. You know, I've had spirits that I have seen in different places, the same one. Well, I thought, maybe I have an attachment or something. I've seen the same one. But what it is, it was a family. So he was skipping back and forth through the family.
No, also, I was a fire department EMT for almost 10 years, and some of the tragic scenes of an accident where a DOA had occurred, they would still be stuck on that scene. Even passing by, you know, months, years later, still get a glimpse that they're still at that scene. There's things about the spirit world that we will never know until we get there. Because every time you do an investigation, as an investigator, you should, if something happens that you're not usually running across, it doesn't happen pretty regular, you've got to ask yourself, well, why? Why is this happening? There's got to be some kind of question after every investigation about why things are the way they are.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, questions are – I had a mentor of mine that trained me a little bit in the paranormal very early on, and I'm sure you've heard his name before. Some people like him, some people don't. His name is Ron Cross, but that's the first thing that he taught me is you have to question everything. If you're going to go out there, when you come home and you review all of your stuff and so forth, you have to question, you know, why were they there in the first place? Is it involved in the house? Could it be explainable? You just have to consider all possibilities you can, so that makes perfect sense. Sadly, there's a lot of people out there that haven't quite registered that yet. But as you know, I mean, you guys have been doing it for a long time. I'm sure you'll agree. You kind of learn these things in segments as you go because it's not like you have a manual for this.
if somebody says that they're a professional in this field,
expert,
my word of advice, you can be a professional in this field, but you're not going to be a professional to the paranormal. And if you think that you've gotten to that point, you need to step down, either do a reevaluation on yourself or find another hobby or job. To us, this isn't a hobby. This is the way of life, passion. It just means so much to us. And so much has come against our team over the last 3.5 years that we've been served that most teams would have busted up. You know, it's steadily.
Yeah, we did lose some of our members.
Our earlier members,
but where we lost some, we gained some more. You know, and it's like a puzzle fitting back together.
You know, we've had a lot of tragic things happen to this team since we've been CERT over the period of times, from death to tragic events to, I mean, sickness, you name it. My advice to anybody wanting to get in this, if you're not born with it or
ready for it
or have the gift for it, don't do it, because there's things out there that can harm you. There's things out there that can attach themselves to your team and just
your vehicle, anything.
You know, find something, that one thing about you that lets you let your guard down, and it'll go in and attack. This stuff is real.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I would 100% agree with that. And, of course, a lot of people do go into it because they don't really have a choice in the matter. It's either a calling, so to speak, the way some people call it, or it's a way of life in the first place. You grew up with it. You were around it. You ran into it, and it just simply never went away. And I don't think a lot of people across the world understand that. They see television shows, and don't get me wrong, I love television shows. I support all of the TV stars that are out there. I think they're wonderful actors. They do good at what they do, and some of them have actually taught us a few things, as well as hindered the paranormal. But it's a gift. And like you said earlier, a burden from time to time, because you have to be prepared to deal with this, and there are going to be times where you run into situations. So let me ask you, both of you actually, do you believe that a lot of the troubles that you've ran into as a team, as individuals, sickness, illness, and so forth, are related to the fact that you went into paranormal investigation in the first place?
Yes, absolutely, without a doubt.
Some of them are just
mishaps that, you know, happen.
Yeah.
But we don't believe in coincidences when it happens over and over and over again. You know, everybody, all the investigators on this team are gifted. And it drains us. The investigations drain us. Not only just doing the investigation, but we're picking up the emotions off of the spirits, the feeling of the house, the history of the house. Sometimes we see it laying out in front of us. So it takes a wear and tear on our bodies, plus little sleep.
Right.
But without going into too much detail, because it's a work in progress, part of the filming that's coming up in May. But 3.5 years ago, we started investigating a town, and we were lied to about some of the information that had happened there and hadn't happened there. And we were pretty perturbed about it because we were dependent on somebody else
to do it for us.
And after the investigation, we found out that some of these events were totally not true. It made us want to get into it deeper. And up until today, it's been drawing us. You know, there's always more information to find out, more information to find out, more information. And sometimes you'd get a dead end, but you knew in the pit of your stomach, something's not right and something's being hidden. And it takes a little while to unturn it, but to uncover it, but eventually it'll show itself. But to go back to your question, yes, this place that we've been investigating for 3.5 years is the cause of 90% of the tragic events that's been based around our family and other CERT members.
It's actually quite amazing how that can happen. I know, again, a lot of listeners out there kind of look at the paranormal in amazement, but the reality is, if you're not prepared for the eventuality that these things can bite back, you simply, you don't make it. That's the easiest way to explain it. I've seen a lot of colleagues, a lot of friends, and a lot of people that I've worked with throughout the years that have passed away from illness, that have I have one friend that pretty much he's just isolated himself. He saw something that he never explained to any of us, but he's living in the Rocky Mountains right now by himself. He does not want anything to do with anything anymore. So I'm glad that you brought that up. That's a very good thing. Because people don't realize that a lot of times. They simply just want to dive in, grab their camera, and go, and that can be a dangerous thing. Let's talk a little bit about you have some unique aspects. I know that we've had discussions from time to time, and I always ask this of everybody, but you have some unique aspects when you talk about the darker side of things. For instance, Ouija boards, contacts, and what you can run into and what you can't run into. A lot of times on the show when I'm talking to people, I'm talking about the positive aspects or the non-aspects of Ouija boards, but I want people to also understand the negative aspects that can happen. So let's talk about that a little bit, what you guys have ran into and your opinions on Ouija boards so that people understand both sides of the coin.
Okay, let me start with, okay, this is just our opinion. So whoever's listening, please don't bash us over our opinion. But we are a Christian Native American team. We use our Christian faith and our Native beliefs, put them together, and that's how we survive. That's how we do what we do. That being said, we don't use Ouija boards. For one, you have to sit around and do a seance or call somebody up. You got to call them. Call them out. Call them to you, whether it be grandma, aunt, uncle, whatever. You're calling them. That opens the door. Okay, 5 minutes later, you get a response. Oh, my God, it's my aunt. She's coming through. Which she could be. But on the flip side of that, demonics are going to make their self or make you believe whatever it is you want them to believe. They can mimic the voice or, well, not a voice, their Ouija board, but they can mimic the answers to make you think that it's really them when you just open up the pits of hell and you've got a demon in your house.
Angry spirit.
Yeah, there's a big difference between an angry spirit and a pissed off spirit or demonic. I mean, demonic usually most of the time most of the people
they're
we
spirit.
Most yeah
they're a fallen angel.
But most of the people we talk to feel them. They know when they get in a house and it's demonic. They know. True, not like TV. Some of the shows I'm not going to mention, but. There are demons out there.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And they don't work like television.
No, they don't. And we do demonic cases. We're one of the only teams closest to this area within a 3-state region. We're usually the first ones that get called on a demonic case. So, yeah, we're very against Ouija. Now, the first thing everybody says, what's the difference between a Ouija board and other equipment that you use? For us, when we go into an investigation, we're not like, John, are you here? Chris, are you here with us?
Show yourself.
We go in there. We're already supposed to have the mindset in our head that nobody's there. So we get in there. We sit down. If there's anybody in here that would like to communicate, please come up to one of these recorders or please say something. We're not calling them up because, in all actuality, we don't know who's there. We just got there. You know, so that's the difference. But the dangers, are unlimited. Unlimited. We've heard of poltergeist activity, people dying, you know, the three stages of possession, oppression. Yeah, we put several Ouija boards to rest for people. Down here in Louisiana, there's a lot of voodoo, black magic, white magic, you know, you name it. So, we're always on call for situations like that. There's some instances where people don't even know what they have in their house. We did one case. The guy had like a flea market that he just went around and bought stuff and just put in a flea market. Well, he had some voodoo items, including the chicken bones for the ritual process and a few other things. And our meters went off on everything he had in that room, just the voodoo stuff in that room. And this room was packed. We find it. We ask him about it. He says he picked it up somewhere and he had this stuff in his house. And that's why he had the activity that was going on. We got it out the house. We put it to rest.
Him and his girlfriend was fighting.
They regained their trust in each other and rebuilt their relationship afterwards. And there's still no activity going on in the house. People just don't know what they're bringing in.
Well, that makes perfect sense. And because the demonic works very unusual ways. And one of the keys that you guys brought up, I think, is very important for people to understand. Whether you call it demonic, whether you call it good and evil, whether you call it positive and negative, whatever you want to call it, that black side, the only way to continue is with faith. You're Christians. You have faith in God. You have faith in Christianity, and you walk into that knowing that. Whatever faith it is, it should be able to combat that as long as it's the right faith and belief. And I think a lot of people put to the wayside the word demon because demon's been called many, many different things throughout the years. But the reality is these things are real. And they come in many, many different shapes. They don't act like television and so forth. And, you know, people forget that. Because they're fascinated with horror and they're fascinated with the scary side of things, but it's not something to be fascinated with. So you guys have worked obviously in Louisiana in voodoo cases and so forth, dealing with black magic and white magic and so forth. I'd like to hear some of your opinions on that.
I'll let Monica answer.
Well, to me, and this is just my opinion, I don't want to offend anybody out there, because people have their own beliefs, their own different, you know, their own opinion. But to me, magic is magic. It doesn't matter if it's white or dark. And it's the white, I know for a fact, I've been through a lot of things studying. I've been through a lot of things to see what the culture was about. And the white magic, go ahead and do it. But it's going to come back and bite you in the butt. It does it every time. You know, where the black magic just goes ahead and butts, you know, it pretty much goes ahead and works its way. Neither one of them's different. Just because they're white or black, you know, dark, or I'm doing this for the good, and, you know, it don't matter. It's still witchcraft. It's still, you know, things that you don't really need to be messing with. You don't know what you're doing to yourself.
Or your family.
Yeah, or your family, or your friends, or anybody you come in contact with. You know, and the voodoo stuff, that a lot of it come from Africa when people were delivered over here. Some of it come from the French nation, when some of the French was pretty much booted out of France. You know, so you have a mixture of things that you got to look at. Okay, this place, this come from this place, this come from that place. Okay, what do I do? How do I, you know, turn this around, and how do I make it a positive instead of a negative? You got to know your research.
No, religion and Christianity are two different things, and they're always at war with each other.
Uh-huh.
We always say religion will send you to hell, but Christianity will get you to heaven. And because of the swip swap between the two, people have their doubts about the dark things. But if you believe in angels, if you believe in God, how can you not believe in the other? You know, there's demons walking amongst earth, you know.
Well, that's where they went to.
And people don't realize it. Yes, they do exist, but having a full-fledged demonic case is very rare. Now, I can say that over the last 2 years, maybe, we have seen an increase in demonic activity, and we've been in contact with demonologists, other demonologists around the state, around the world. We're in a little association together with them, and they've reported an increase in it. For us, I'm not trying to get all biblical and everything, but for us, the Bible says test the spirits, try the spirits. First thing we do when we feel something's not right, we will stop what we're doing, dead silence, and just ask, who is Jesus Christ? Might have to ask it two or three times, but eventually you're going to get your answer. And if it's not anything that would, that would resemble Christ-like, then yeah, it's not good. Now my personal belief, because you know, you've got, people that don't speak English, you've got people that don't know God, that have passed away. I think that when they get to that point, they know who God is. Now, whether they were on the right side of life or the wrong side of life when they passed, that's between them. But they still know who he is. Now, whether they accept him or not, that's up to them. But that's how we know what we're dealing with, besides our gut instinct and our bodies. Your body is a natural mechanism, natural defense. It's going to let you know when something's not right.
Now, do you feel... I know that a lot of other people, because I've spoke to people similar that have said the same thing. Do you feel that this increase, even though it's not an extreme increase, it's still enough to notice that this increase is due to everything that's going changing in society right now? I mean, it's more acceptable to disbelieve in demons than not, where it wasn't 50 years ago. The world is in chaos, so to speak. So we have a lot of things competing against each other that make people not want to believe, not have faith, get angry a lot, and so forth. I mean, do you feel personally that that's a part of what is causing an increase on negative things to start showing around more often?
Yes, indeed, because, you know, when you've got, you know, demons are not spirits. They've never been human. They've never been alive. They were cast down from heaven. They're fallen angels. And even a spirit itself, not just including the dark stuff, but this, you know, regular spirit itself, it's got to have energy to be able to do things. And with all the negativity that's going on, they're just drawing that energy. I mean, they ain't doing nothing but getting fat, you know. That's all they're doing. This is supper time, breakfast time. This is buffet. They hoarding up as much as they can. But, you know, being the person I am, the one thing that I can say, and like we always say, you know, this is our opinion, but the Bible says, you know, in Revelation that, you know, the Bible's got to be fulfilled. And then it also said that man shall destroy itself. So, you know, everybody can blame it on, oh, well, you know, this is a demonic thing. No, sometimes it's just us.
Sometimes we're the haunted ones.
Right. We're haunting ourselves sometimes.
Well, that would make sense. You know, man tends to create a lot of things that can be avoided. It's human instinct, I know that, but it's a constant battle that we all fight between believing in one thing or another and being grown up a certain way, seeing certain things from other things. Humanity sometimes creates their own unique problems that can cause issues.
That's very true.
So let's I didn't mean to cut you off there, Monica. You had something to say?
Go ahead.
I was going to say, let's talk a little bit about future presentation of CERT and what you guys are planning on doing, any type of events that you're going to show up on, and areas that you're going to investigate that you can release, of course, and get people a feel for what to expect from you and your team here within the next year to 2 years or so.
We've got events that we do. We do a Dogwood Festival, which is in Pollock, Louisiana, in Grant Parish. We do a pecan festival, which is coming up soon in Colfax and Grant Parish. We just did one event that we spoke at in Nebraska for Cheryl Ann Fletcher. She's also our CEO. And as far as coming up, I can tell you a little bit to keep you on your toes, but that's about all I can do. This one place that we've been speaking of that, you know, for 3.5 years, our number one goal when we went into that was, one, what are they trying to cover up? don't tell us no, because it's going to make us work even harder. We were told let dying dogs lay. We're certain we're not going to let that happen. You got something to cover up, and we're going to find out what it is eventually. There's so much going on at this place. So many spirits, you know, documented thousands of on thousands of deaths since the early 1700s. Their voices deserve to be heard. The truth deserves to be out there, because
they need rest
because what happened in certain circumstances has them reason to be very, very angry.
I'll go a little bit further
than that without giving out too much. We were supposed to start production and filming next month, but due to the tragic deaths that have occurred to the family and in the team, we need time for healing. So we weren't able to go into it next month, but we're going to still be doing some investigations, trying to get back into things, trying to get our mind together, which I know we can, but we pushed off production until May. Josh Hurd, everybody knows Josh Hurd. He's written several books. Production, pretty good documentary filmmaker. Well, we've been trying for 3 years to try to find somebody other than ourselves to get this story out there and get the truth. So he come along. You've got to stay tuned, because all that the team has inquired, the deaths, the sickness, the hospital, everything is going to be proven on this certain series. All the history and research that we've done for 3.5 years are going to be proven. So you're actually going to get a never before seen series, and that's all I can say.
Well, that's enough for everybody to stay tuned and keep an eye on you, though, and learn a little bit more about CERT investigations. And I'm actually excited about it. I'll be glad to say once it comes out, hey, I met those guys. So everybody, you can actually find them on Facebook. You can type in CERT investigations on Facebook. You'll find it pretty easily. It'll be S-E-R-T, and it'll have a breakdown of the actual name of the team as well. And you've been speaking with Jeffrey Hale and Monica, which are part of the team. Keep an eye on them, as he had mentioned, here in the next few years for the documentary, and a little bit more about them. You'll start seeing more as we go. You've been listening to Paranormal Truth and Reality, so that you know that. We're going to go into a little bit more of a discussion here in the last 10 minutes of the show and kind of talk a little bit about some things just as a recap that Jeffrey and everybody has spoken about. We have been talking about paranormal investigations, locations. We've been talking about demons. We've been talking about Ouija boards. So now in the end, let's talk about practicality a little bit. I know you guys mentioned equipment earlier, how you like to test your equipment and so forth, but you also like to go back to basics. Let's talk about some of those basic or even more basic tools that you guys use from time to time on your investigations that people generally don't think about that have been around for a few years.
Okay, so I'll start with all the expensive, shiny gadgets that they have on the market that they have aired on TV just has that big price tag because of just that. It's been aired on TV. It's not guaranteed to pick up nothing. In fact, nothing on the market that we believe that is...
That's legit, is
an old recorder, you know. But we go back further than that. We high-definition 8-track, 8-track cameras. We just find that some of your older equipment, like your cameras, the black-and-white cameras, the night shot on the black-and-white, trying to think. We've got a whole arsenal of stuff, but it's...
We write stuff down. We use a notebook.
Yeah. We just find that we get better evidence off of some of this older stuff. Now, the K2 meter, debunked, throw it away. We don't use it. Too many things set it off. It's not legit. I don't care if you put three or four of them up, buy that one, and they all go off. I'm just not sold on it.
The Ghost Pro we have used a lot.
Yes, the Ghost Pro with the three different settings, we use it a lot. You can pick up your EMF reading off of one setting. You can do a true or false setting on the third setting, or yes or no. Not saying it's legitimate, but that's why you go into more investigating.
Well, if your DVR, just to your regular recorder, your small recorder, you know, if this thing is going off and we're asking questions, and then it comes back on the DVR, the answers that we ask, then we know, hey, Ghost Pro did good tonight. You know, but we always back it up. We always back everything that we have up off that recorder.
No, we've got one of our best pictures by accident. It was a full body apparition. Our cameraman at the time just had a little app on his cell phone. I don't remember the name of the app.
No, it was just the night vision.
It was some kind of night vision. No gimmicks, nothing. I mean, it was a regular camera that turns your filter green. No. Yes, blue or green or clear. Anyway, he was just snapping pictures because we were wasting time. We were setting up cameras and lights and everything, getting ready. Waiting on the clients. And we get home. We start going over the pictures. You know, he sent everything he had to us, and it almost got thrown away, and it caught Monica's attention, and we got into it, and it's sure enough, plain as day, there's a woman at the window, which the investigation was supposed to revolve around a man.
But we kept
the perfume smell, so it kind of blew our mind that we got her instead of him. But anyway, this older equipment is just more reliable. They're not just throwing them together. Look at the Ghost Arc, for instance. You know, people had to wait 2 years for a Ghost Arc, and it's still not everything that they put it out to be. Now, we like the Eddy meter.
Sometimes
we like, you know, the three setting, let you know the temperature, the EMF reading and stuff like that. We like the
Star showers.
We went to star showers that they have at Christmas time because we've debunked the pin laser lights, because when the batteries get hot, the metal expands and it'll make it go acting up. So we don't use that no more. The star shower throws a steady stream, and that's it. If you don't bump it, you know, then of course watching hours of footage on a laser grid is kind of pretty boring. But there might be that one time you catch something.
Those are all good things for everybody to know, though. We're down to our last minute and a half here, so that everybody knows, CERT Investigations, Monica and Jeffrey, we have been speaking with them this evening on Paranormal Truth and Reality. I want to thank you guys for coming on. It's been a very interesting show. You're always welcome back. If you want to promote anything or discuss anything, don't hesitate to contact me. I'd love to have you on again. In closing, so that everybody knows, remember, in the paranormal, truth should always be the reality, and that's a piece of what you got tonight. So we'll see you next week. I hope you enjoyed the show. Have a good night.